The title of this message is White Supremacy, a Sin. The scripture verse is Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. If you will stand in honor of the Holy Scriptures, I will read it to you. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. Only the Lord had delight in thy fathers, which is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to love them, and he chose or elected their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. You may be seated. Before I begin the sermon, I have to point out that the month of June is National Pride Month. Cities, counties, and states join in with the national government who attempt to make an inclusive citizenship of queers by raising their pride flag, hosting their own parties, watching their parades, and keeping their celebrations. Cincinnati joined in with all the celebrations listed above. They proudly hosted the pride flag above the council door at the courthouse. Covington, Kentucky, the city right across the Ohio River from Cincinnati, was on local television and in the Cincinnati Inquirer newspaper telling of all its wonderful activities that support the gay rights movement. Has anyone stopped and thought that this is a recent movement? Homosexuals in the past kept their activities a secret. They didn't come out of their closet and ram their beliefs down the throat of those who opposed them. What does the Lord God of Israel say to his covenant people about homosexuality? Didn't he say that both parties committing homosexuality should be executed? Then why is all this celebration going on in Christian countries? What recent nation put the homosexual activists in concentration camps? It was the nation that we allied ourselves against in World War II and who we fought against. The nation was Germany. They were better than we were on this one activity. Maybe they were better than us on many others. I got a picture of the Balmus who makes socks, Pride Collection. There's a bunch of the socks. You can tell they have these stripes for LGBTQ. And then it says at the end, for every item you purchase from this collection. So if you buy a sock from them, it's got the Pride stripes. An item will be donated to an organization helping those experiencing homelessness and the LGBTQ plus community. Well, that's enough of that. Now we go back to our introductory verses. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to love them, and he chose or elected their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Are these introductory verses correct or not correct? Did God say that he chose the seed of his covenant people to be above all people? Or did he say that his people would be below all people? Or did he say they would be equal to all people? If there is a group of people who are above all people, is that not supremacy? Is this not white supremacy if you believe that the white race is the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Or is it really the supremacy of Almighty God, for he is the one who makes his chosen ones supreme? But maybe there are some who say, no, that is not white supremacy, it is Jewish supremacy. That would be the conclusion of the people who believe that the modern-day Jews are the descendants of the covenant people that God made with Abraham. But is that the Ashkenazi Jews, who make up over 90% of the Jewish population today, and who are descended from Japheth, not Shem? Or is it the Sephardic Jews, or the Hasidic Jews, or the Indian Jews, etc.? Which one of the different kind of Jews is it? They hate each other, but they unite to fight against God and the Christians. Southern Baptists have said that they once taught the devil's doctrine into 1995 when they confessed and repented of their sin of racism. Was racism a sin? They have now switched to racial reconciliation. They both can't be correct. Were they right before 1995 or after, or are they never right? The white people, not the Jews, are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and are the elect of God. The laws of our God were given only to them. You are the elect of God if you are of a pure white seed. If you are of any other race or a mongrel, then you are not one of God's elect. There are two major seed lines in the Bible. One who has God as their father, and the other who has the devil as their father. They both have the same mother, Eve. They have been in a death struggle for over 6,000 years. Jesus said to one of these seed lines that they could never hear his words. Why do you think that he told his people to destroy all the Canaanites, men, women, and children, instead of sending missionaries to them? It was impossible for any Canaanite to believe the Lord God of Israel. Now, an interesting website. Looking at the internet, I came across a most interesting website. It compared what a Christian identity preacher believed with a Judeo-Christian preacher's rebuttal. I am going to refrain from mentioning the name of the Christian identity preacher until the end of this sermon. Maybe I'll ask if anyone knows who it is. The website just said that he seemed like a nice guy, professional looking, and well spoken. But his views that focus on white supremacy and the separation of the races are wrong. The website said that here are his major arguments and how they are just not what God is really trying to tell us in Scripture. The website adds that nowhere on his website does this Christian identity preacher list any college or seminary education. How about a robot, Pastor Blanchard? The Christian identity preacher was not allowed to rebut the Judeo-Christian's comments. They took statements that he made and had them rebutted by a Judeo-Christian. Thus, it wasn't a real debate. It was one-sided. To make it fair, I will question and point out areas of disagreement between the two. The woman harshly criticized the Christian identity pastor. I will take the place of the Christian identity pastor who was not given the chance to rebut his rebutter. My views will be inside of brackets. My first view, the website is against what the Christian identity preacher is saying on the topics of white supremacy and the separation of the races. They began by putting a sublinear message that he is possibly not a graduate of any college, university, or seminary because his website doesn't list any. But just because he doesn't list any doesn't mean that he doesn't have any. I don't list the universities I have attended either on the church's website. I have earned over 200 university credits from over 6 different educational institutions. This CI preacher is very well educated, but he doesn't have to be. But he must be well read, and the Holy Spirit must give him the ability to understand the scriptures. And he has. The website goes on and says that he is refuted by the Reverend Dr. Sarah J. Roberts, whose credentials are, number one, a Bachelor of Arts from the University of Northern Iowa in Religious Studies. Number two, it's a Master of Divinity, and I don't know what the IV stands for, the University of Dubuque. Right, it sounds like Dubuque. Dubuque Theological Seminary, focus of Greek and New Testament. And a Doctor of Ministry, University of Dubuque Theological Seminary. I had no idea where Dubuque was, so I looked it up. It's near the Mississippi River. Dubuque Theological Seminary is a Presbyterian seminary located in Dubuque, Iowa. Now the first reason. The website has the Christian Identity preacher saying the following, which is then rebutted by his opponent. First, the Christian Identity preacher. So here's what he said. Well, simply stated, Jesus is against race mixing because it is a sin, a violation of his divine law. Even his creative law, which established a kind after kind process in Genesis 1, 21 through 26. You will notice that within these verses we are told, every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind, and so forth. Question. If the fowl have their different kinds and types, and the cattle their different kinds and types, and the fish their kind and types, etc., then it should be equally obvious and true that there are different kinds and types of man. In other words, in nature, as God created them, there is a natural inbred knowledge and instinct of separation within all species of animals. There are different types and varieties of eagles, such as the bald eagle, the golden eagle, the white-tailed eagle, the short-toed eagle, and the imperial eagle. All of these eagles are of the same progeny or breed. The same holds true for the different variety of bipeds. God Almighty did not make a mistake in creating the different races of people. In fact, the principle, what God had put together, let no man put asunder, is very much applicable to the kind after kind principle. Kind after kind is the creation rule, and carnal-minded man grossly violated this principle of divine creation. That ended what the key preacher said. I'll comment on that. The Christian Identity pastor first brings the argument of kind after kind. He argues if the birds, fish, creeping things, and others have kind after kind, so do man and humans. As Muhammad Ali once said, you don't see a bluebird mating with a robin. Then the rebuttal presented by the woman Presbyterian preacher. So here's her rebuttal to the first point, kind after kind. She names the Christian Identity preacher and says that he is trying to make the case that human skin color is akin to different breeds within animals, which simply isn't scientifically valid. Where did the Christian Identity pastor say this? I don't know. The Smithsonian Institute is doing a lot of work around the issue of human origins. Then she quotes the Smithsonian Institute by saying, quote, the billions of human beings living today all belong to one species, Homo sapiens. As in all species, there is a variation among individual human beings from size and shape to skin tone and eye color. But we are much more alike than we are different. We are, in fact, remarkably similar. The DNA of all human beings living today is 99.9% alike. The scripture from Genesis 1:21 talks about different kinds of animals. To try and apply that to color variation in people is to make a great leap that simply isn't there in the scripture. The Bible is clear that we are all descendants of Adam and Eve, one family, one kind. There is no such thing as interbreeding or race mixing because we are not different breeds or races. We are different shades of the same breed. Chocolate labs, black labs, yellow labs, we are all labs. They are happy dogs, unquote. Well, my comment on the rebuttal. There is a major problem. If the Judeo-Christian preacher is right, then Patrice Cullors, one of the three queer founders of Black Lives Matter Incorporated, is wrong. Patrice says that she comes from a tribe in Nigeria, Africa, which is over 8,000 years old. Adam was formed out of the dust only 6,000 years ago. That's a 2,000-year difference. Patrice Cullors could not be a descendant of Adam and Eve. Her ancestors were around, she said, over 2,000 years before Adam was created. But the Smithsonian Institute does say the amazing story of adaption and survival in our species, Homo sapiens, is written in the language of our genes in every cell of our bodies, as well as in the fossil and behavioral evidence. If we explore the African origins of modern humans about 200,000 years ago and celebrate our species' epic journey around the world, whoa, isn't that enough? The Smithsonian says that all two-legged people are descended from two Africans about 200,000 years ago. And she's quoting them. Isn't that talking about the false doctrine of evolution? What does the Smithsonian say about the creation of Adam? Adam wasn't born. He was created out of the dust of the earth. He was created as an adult. He never was a fetus, baby, infant, teenager, or young adult. He was created as an adult and told that he would live forever if he obeyed what God had said. And the Smithsonian is only about 200,000 years off. What is the purpose of citing the Smithsonian instead of the Bible? A seminary graduate said there is no interbreeding or race mixing. But can she explain, if that is true, why was it that in America it was against the law for anyone to race mix until 1967? Does she think that she can just cancel out the words race mix and it'll be no more? And the seminary graduate failed to mention that there became two seed lines 6,000 years ago. These two seed lines had two different fathers but had the same mother. The two seed lines would have natural enmity towards each other. There would be no peace on the earth until one of these seed lines was annihilated. The goal of the evil seed line is to completely annihilate the seed line that loves the Lord God of Israel. That is found in the Bible that she studied in the seminary, but she should have learned it in the church that she attended. The God of the Bible does not love, know, choose, elect, or have any dealings, covenants, or interracial relationships with any other racial group on the planet like he did with Israel. The phrase God of Israel is used 200 times in the Bible, but we never see God's name attached to any other people. He is never called the God of the Hittites, the God of the Amorites, the Philistines, the Canaanites, the Edomites, or the Jebusites. Likewise, the God of the Bible is not the God of the Chinese, Japanese, Africans, Eskimos, Polynesians, Indians, Cubans, Mexicans, Egyptians, Assyrians, Amalekites, Perizzites, Hornites, and Ammonites, Hindus, Arabs, Jews, or Buddhists. It is not strictly a personal choice. It is God's choice. Well, this ended the first reason why white supremacy and separatism is either right or wrong from the scriptures. Now let's go on to the second debatable reason. So the second reason. The Christian identity preacher gave his view first and then it was rebutted by the woman preacher. So here's the Christian identity, what they picked off his website. Speaking of politically correct, I'm sure most of you Christians remember the great story of Nehemiah and the tremendous faith and vision he had to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. Over the years, I have heard wonderful messages about Nehemiah and the many forms of opposition he had to overcome in order to complete the wall. Nehemiah is used as an example of a man who had a conviction of faith, not a preference of faith. A man whose heart was close to God. Well, let's read the following verses regarding race mixing. And let's see how Nehemiah deals with the problem. It's Nehemiah 13, verses 23 through 30. In those days also saw I Jews, which is really Judeans of the southern kingdom of Judah, that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Judeans' language, but according to the language of each people. And I contended with them, and cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, now that's kind of a rough punishment. I don't know if a preacher could do that to someone like that. You shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons or for yourselves. Then he asked, did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. Shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange wives? And one of the sons of Jonadiah, the son of Eliashib the high priest, was son-in-law to Sanballat the Horonite. Therefore I chased him from me. Remember them, O my God, because they have defiled the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. Thus cleansed I them from all strangers, and appointed the duties of the priests and the Levites and everyone in his business. Well, I had to make a comment on the CI preachers. Nehemiah was very upset because there were men of Judah who had married women from Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. They, like Solomon before them, had their marriages to strangers caused them to sin. It was called a great sin, that is, the marriage with strange women. One of the sons of the priesthood had committed this great evil. Nehemiah ran him out of town. His name was Manasseh, brother of Jaddua, son of Judiah, the grandson of Eliab, the high priest, who was married to the daughter of Shabalat, the Horonite. Thus Eliab, the high priest, had married his grandson to Sanballat's daughter, who was a foreigner. This produced a connection with Tobiah, the friend of Sanballat, Thus the corruption began. And while Nehemiah was absent in Babylon, Eliashib the high priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied with Tobitha the Ammonite, a Sabbat associate. He leased the large storeroom of the temple to Dobas. When Nehemiah returned, he drove out Manasseh, that's Eliab, the high priest's grandson, along with Tobitha's furniture out of the temple. Nehemiah purified the room and put back all that had originally been there. What happened then? The Baal priests built a temple in Mount Gerizim, over which they put the former priest of God to officiate in the false temple. The despiser of the covenant, Manasseh, was rewarded by the Baal priest in becoming the high priest of the temple of Mount Gerizim, and that's located in Samaria. This is just like the Judeo-Christian churches of today. It is like the church where the rebutter is preaching, a place for other races, strangers, and mongrels falsely attempt to worship the God of the Bible. This is a quick review of what happened in the book of Nehemiah that should be taught in any Christian seminary. But in her rebuttal, she fails to mention anything about Nehemiah said or did, and if she knows of any of her associates who had preached on the subject on the book of Nehemiah. Now we go back to the CI pastor's statements. I have to admit that of all the various messages I've heard from the book of Nehemiah, I have never heard one Judeo-Christian minister preach from these Bible passages. And while you were in a Judeo-Christian church, did you hear one preach on the verses from Nehemiah? I wonder why. Could it be that these verses may be a little too sensitive for congregations who have been taught that race mixing is perfectly okay or even right and proper in the eyes of God? Well, if it's so right, why do we find race mixing condemned in the Word of God from Genesis through Revelation? Notice verse 27. Shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange wives? Race mixing is referred to as this great evil, even described as to transgress, meaning a sin. Well, now my comments on the CI pastor. The Christian identity pastor raises a good point. Is race mixing a great evil? Nehemiah and Ezra thought so. When they heard of it, they rent their clothes and tore their hair out. Is the CI Krishna Dani preacher right or wrong in his views on the topics? Well, I'm anxious to hear the rebuttal. The Judeo-Christian woman preacher with several seminary degrees says in defense of race mixing. Here's her rebuttal. She starts out once again by giving the Krishna Dani preacher's name and then says that his argument is that Nehemiah is concerned about race. This is not true. Nehemiah doesn't want Israelites to marry people of other religions who will bring idol worship into good Jewish homes. Nehemiah is trying to rebuild a Jewish community that has been pulled apart by being overrun by other tribes and nations. He works to rebuild the walls of the temple and to get the people to follow the law of Moses. Well, I had to stop her right there and give my views before she continued on. First of all, are Nehemiah and his people Jewish? This writer for Judeo-Christianity says that they are. Christian identity says they're of the white race. Which one is correct? Which one is wrong? Or are they both wrong? She continues on.
Interracial marriage here is the issue, but it's not about race. The people of this area are all about the same color, dark tan. Jewish people from the Middle East look like the people from the Middle East. Dark.
I had to stop it again. Again, this is a graduate of the seminary now. Again, the teacher of this view says that race mixing is not evil. She says that the Jews and the other races in the Middle East all look alike. They are all dark-skinned. But she is equating Jews with the covenant people of God. This is not what the CI says. She is calling Jews, who are what Christian Identity says, are white people. And during the time of Nehemiah, over 90% of all Israelites are not anywhere near Jerusalem. The other Israelites are not mentioned by the rebutter. She just says the covenant people were dark-skinned. But were the people of Wales, Ireland, Scotland, Britain, and Western Europe, etc., dark-skinned? If she is right, then why would God forbid any marriages with the Canaanite nations that were occupying the Promised Land? Her argument was they were all dark-skinned and of different religions. I'll go back to her rebuttal. Color of skin is not the issue. Religion is the issue. Nehemiah wants people to become faithful again to God, and the first law of Moses' Ten Commandments is to worship God only and to never to have any idols. Faithfulness in families is a lot easier when everyone is of the same religion. I got to make a comment about this. This is their major argument, and it is their best one because it is a half-truth. But our explanation runs into very serious bad conclusions. Religion is an issue, but so is the color of the spouse's skin. So is hair color and texture, eye color. DNA to understand God's law, DNA to not hear God's word, DNA to be a liar. All are an issue. The answer is that race and religion go together. Each different race has their own gods. Answers in Genesis say it's the same thing as the rebutting author. They say that a white believer marrying a white unbeliever is a marriage that God does not approve. But a white believer marrying a black believer is one that God does approve. But what is wrong with this view? First, how could anyone but a pure descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob be a believer in true Christianity? If you believe that the descendants of this covenant are the Jews, then the Jews are the only ones that could believe that they are the covenant people of God. But they still reject the Son of God to this day, teaching that he was an imposter. And they murder the Son of God and deny his resurrection. So they are not the covenant seed. You shall know them by their fruits. Second, if you believe, as the CI preacher does, that it is the white people who are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then only the pure seed of this racial line are the recipients of God's divine favor. That would make the white race the superior race, but only if they obey God's law. If not, their enemy would be the head, and they would be the tail. It would be Jewish supremacy, not white supremacy in today's world. Third, if you believe that is the pure seed of the covenant people, any race mixing would produce children who are not pure seed. They could not be a part of the covenant seed anymore.
Their parents would have despised the covenant. Look at what happened to Esau. Look at what his parents said and did as a result of the race mixing. And look at what they did with Jacob. And did Jacob marry someone else who had another religion, but was the same race as he? She had idols, her father's idols. Fourth, Almighty God calls himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This was part of the white race, one family. This was the people who God loved, showed mercy to, and promised that their kingdom would never be completely destroyed. No Negro, Oriental, Pacific Islander, Hispanic, or mulattoes, and so forth, were part of the covenant people. This was the people that he was the literal king over for three centuries. Do you think that he loves these people? Or does he love the enemies who fought against them while he was king? Fifth, did our God approve of any marriage between his covenant people if one or both spouses were unbelievers? What did our God do when the whole house of Israel was swept away with Baal worship? What marriages did he approve of? Sixth, there are two seed lines mentioned in the Bible that started at the same time. Two seed lines that have two different fathers but the same mother. The two seed lines would hate each other and fight against each other from the first two descendants. There can be no peace. There can be no peace on the earth if these two seed lines exist. These two seed lines are half brothers. They were forbidden by God to marry each other's descendants, even though they could reasonably look the same in appearance. Nothing is said about these two different seed lines in the rebuttal. Seven, what about the giants that appear in the Old Testament? Who was their original father? Why didn't Israel have any giants in their lineage? Nothing is mentioned about these menacing giants that inhabited entire cities in the ancient days of Israel. No giant is recorded in the Bible as being a child of God. Well, that's enough arguments against that. Let's go back to her rebuttal. She says, there is a lot of argument in the Bible against marrying people of other religions, but not people of other color or skin. Seminary graduate. In fact, in many places, we assume that couples of different races, such as Moses, who was Jewish, and Zipporah, who was part of a native tribe of Ethiopia, and therefore probably darker skinned. There is a mixed race marriage. I thought there was only one race. A mixed race marriage that is celebrated, not condemned in Scripture. Even Walt Disney recognized this fact in the making of the movie Prince of Egypt, and she put a picture right up there. I had to make a comment. Well, there she goes again. She calls Moses a Jew, and she bases that on what Disney cartoon says, and she is a seminary graduate. Moses was not a Jew. Their own Jewish books say the Jews are descendants of Esau. And she calls Moses' marriage to Zipporah, an Ethiopian, another dark-skinned and mixed marriage. Her assumptions are incorrect. First, Moses was not a Jew. He was white. Second, Zipporah was not from northern Africa. She was not from the country of Ethiopia. She was a white Cushite. Third, Zipporah was of Abraham. Even though Moses' father-in-law was called a Kenite, son of Cain, this title was used because he lived in the province of the Kenites. Jethro Reuel was of Abraham, not of the line of Cain. Fourth, Zipporah was of the line of Abraham and his wife Keturah. One of their seven sons was named Midian. When Moses fled Egypt, he went to the land of Midian. Zipporah was the daughter of Reuel, who was descended from Midian, who was one of the sons of Abraham and Keturah. Well, who do you believe so far? The Christian identity preacher or the Judeo-Christian preacher? Maybe you don't believe either one. But you must decide the basic question. Does the God of Israel say that race mixing is a sin? One says that race mixing is marrying a person of another race, while the other says that the sin is marrying a person of a different religion. Race doesn't matter. I wonder what the Judeo-Christian preacher would say about the house of Israel. Before they split off from the house of Judah, they became a Baal-worshipping nation. So who was an Israelite to marry if God condemned marrying a person of your same race who had a different religion? Are your minds made up yet? If not, here is the third and final reason. The Christian identity preacher makes his third reason. Quote, even back in Deuteronomy chapter 7, 1 through 3, God Almighty warned his people, Israel, against the dangers of race mixing. Whether we understand all the ifs and whys or buts, we had better determine to obey God rather than men. If we as Christians do not have the love of God in our hearts, we will develop into the type of nation America has become today, a pluralistic, paganistic nation which embraces that which is pleasing in our own sight. Here is the following warning from Joshua chapter 23, verses 11 through 13. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Else, if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they unto you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyeballs, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. In light of all that we have covered from the Word of God, can any true Christian truly believe that Bob Jones University is motivated by hate? That's the university that forbid dating of other races. Can they believe that if Jesus Christ were here today, he'd be walking hand in hand with the likes of Al Gore, Bill Bradley, John McCain, and even George W. Bush, who is going out of his way to distance themselves from the university. Regarding the question, would Jesus Christ condone race mixing? The answer should now be obvious. All capital letters. Jesus Christ would not condone race mixing. Well, my comments. The Christian identity pastor used Joshua chapter 23 to prove his point on race mixing. The Lord tells Israel that there are some remnants of the Canaanites that are left in the land. One thing that he requires of them is for them not to marry any of the Canaanites. If they do, they will eventually perish off the land. Now, the Judeo-Christian will say that this no marriage ban was because of their religion and not their race. For everyone is of the same race, that is, the human race. But as we said before, this is a half-truth. Why would God make the marriage ban to all the Canaanite people if the Canaanite people had the possibility of being one of his own? They couldn't, they wouldn't. That is the point. There is no Canaanite individual who ever worshiped the Lord God. He worshiped his original father. He worshiped the devil. Where in the Bible do we see a Canaanite be a worshiper of the God of Israel? Nowhere. And why is the Lord God called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Because the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their seed. The Bible never calls him the God of the Edomites, or the God of the Canaanites, or the God of the Canaanites. He eventually became king over the nation of Israel, his covenant people. His throne was in the intersection of the temple. Do you think that he would favor the people that he was king over? Wouldn't you if you were king? Or would he favor the kingdoms that fought against Israel? There are even some battles in the Old Testament where God declares emphatically that the battle was not yours, referring to Israel, but was mine, the Lord God of Israel. Well, let's see how the Judeo-Christian answers the argument given by the Christian identity pastor. Here's the rebuttal by the Judeo-Christian pastor. Once again, she says the Judeo-Christian identity pastor's name wants you to read only verses 1 to 3. But look a little further. She reads Deuteronomy 7, 1 through 4. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor shall mercy unto them. Neither shall thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shall not be given to his son, nor his daughter shall thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. The Judeo-Christian then names the CI pastor and says that he, quote, chooses his verses so that you do not see the issue here is not color of skin, but of religion and faithfulness to God. He does the same with Joshua chapter 23, where verse 7 is very important, but he wants you to start at verse 11. So she reads Joshua 7 through 13. That you come not among these nations that remain among you, neither make mention of their name of their gods, nor cause them to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. But cleave unto the Lord your God as you have done this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man has been able to stand before you to this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he has promised you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Else if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go unto them, and they unto you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. The Judeo-Christian woman pastor concludes by writing that by reading from verse 7, we see exactly what Joshua and God are worried about. The people mixing with tribes of other religions. God has cleared the land for his tribe, the Israelites, and God doesn't want to have to do any more killing. These who are living can continue to live if the Israelites can stay faithful to God and not be tempted into idol worship through intermarriage. Nothing in here is said about color of skin. All the different tribes, like different Native American tribes, have intermarried for hundreds of years, and everyone is pretty much the same color, dark. The Judeo-Christian race-missing advocate concluded by once again saying that the Christian identity pastor's last name and said, listen to this, he has given no evidence whatsoever to be able to say that Jesus would not condone race-mixing. His argument is deeply flawed. Jesus was always getting into trouble for hanging out with the wrong kind of people and encouraged the authorities of the time to be not so rigid, but to see the inner spirit of every person. We have every reason to think that Jesus would say the inner person, not their color, is what is most important in marriage. I said there are two main points that are raised by the Christian identity pastor, by the woman preacher. Number one, there are not any different races in the world. There's only one race, and that is the human race. This is not true. That's their first error. God created Adam, and the word Adam and man are the same in the Bible. Strong's 120. Humans refer to the colored individuals on the earth. There are more colored bipeds on the earth than descendants of Adam and Eve. How do you get different races from the same two parents? I would like an answer to this question. They all say, including answers in Genesis, that the original parents were a mid-brown color. How do you get a pure white couple from parents who are mid-brown? I can answer. And not only that, how do you get a pure black couple from parents who are mid-brown? And not even that, how do you get a pure oriental couple from parents who are mid-brown? They must do some fast talking to convince the people of that. But they're doing it. Then they theorized that the different races came into being less than 4,500 years ago after they were scattered by languages after the destruction of the Tower of Babel. So answers in Genesis now being the Tower of Babel near the ark. So there were no Negroes until then. There were no Orientals until then. There were no Hispanics until then. There were no whites unto them. There were none of the different races unto them. This is disproven by history, which says there were Negroes, Chinese, Incas, whites, and Kenites alive and well before this time. It has only been in recent years that the notion that there is only one race has taken hold on a large part of the population. But there are several different races on the earth. There are two main sea lions that have enmity placed in their souls against each other. It was placed there by Almighty God. And there were races who were before these two sea lions came into being. What race is Kamala Harris? Her father was a black Jamaican who was owner over black slaves in his plantation that he ruled. And her mother was an Indian doctor from India. Is she a pure black? No, she isn't. Is she a pure Indian? No, she isn't. She is a confusion of face, is the way the Bible puts it. She is part of the Mongol race, which is exactly what the Jewish race is. They are the product of race mixing and contain part of the seed of the devil. She is married to a prominent Jew. This is the main reason that the Jewish communists want to completely annihilate the white race. They want every white girl to have sexual relations with an individual of another race. They would make their offspring not pure. That is one reason they hated the Third Reich of the Germans so much. And that is why they committed rape with the German women. The Germans knew this truth. I got a very interesting picture I'm going to show you. It says here, in racism, make mixed babies. And you got a black bear with a white bear, which produces a panda bear. In racism. In the white race. And what in the white race? If you got a white person marrying any other race, you produce mongrels. And that's what they're doing. I see it in the airport every time I work there. The second reason, God is not against race mixing. He is against the marriage of one of his believers who is a unbeliever. With an unbeliever. This is a half-truth that is so convincing to many Israelite people who go to Christian-named churches. Let's think about this for a minute. How many Negroes of the 1300s do you know who were Christians? Somebody give me a name for Negro? How many Orientals do you know who called themselves Christians who were living in the 1300s? How many South American Indian tribes do you know who called themselves Christians who were living in the 1300s? Who were the people who called themselves Christians down through all the ages? It was only the white people or white Israelites who had the Bible and eventually translated it into their different spoken languages. German, Spanish, French, Dutch, Swedish, English, and so forth. So God was saying the same thing. Listen close, studio Christians. God was saying the same thing when he said to his covenant people not to marry a person who was not of your race, for they couldn't be of your religion. Each race has their own gods. That is the reason Israel was to be a separate nation, because the other races would soon convince them to follow their gods and abandon them the Lord God. That is exactly what happened in the United States. Flip it up a page, Randa. Who was the Christian identity preacher? Anybody know? You said it? You're reading ahead of the text. So who was the Christian identity pastor who was so misrepresented by the Judeo-Christian woman preacher? And the fact that she's a woman preacher tells you something. It was my friend, Pastor Dave Barley. Dave runs America Promise Ministries, inherited from his father-in-law, Sheldon Emery. The website that set up this confrontation of the two pastors said that Dave has, quote, taken advantage of online media with a professional website and YouTube videos. But his views on white supremacy and separation of the races are a point of contention. Thank God for Pastor Dave Barley and his wife, the daughter of Sheldon Emery. Thank God for Pastor Everett Ramsey and his wife. Thank God for Pastor Charles Jennings and his wife. Thank God for Pastor Dan Gaiman and his late wife. Thank God for Pastor Reed Benson and his wife. Thank God for Pastor Lawrence Blanchard and his wife. Thank God for minister and biblical scholar Bill Fink and his wife. Thank God for Pastor Tom Robb and his wife. Thank God for Pastor Kevin Reed and his wife. Thank God for Pastor Matthew Dyer and his wife. Thank God for Pastor Ken Kimball and his wife. Thank God for Pastor Jerry Wickey and his wife. Thank God for Pastor Jim Jester and his wife. Thank God for Larry Sullivan, Steve Kukla, Alex Robb, Brian Jones, Walt Giddings, and their wives. Thank God for my wife and for all the people who help in putting on and participating in the yearly conference. Stay strong and do not back down. The Lord God of Israel said the battle was not ours, but his. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.